So we're here with Becky Mankin of MEI Mouse Fan Travel. Welcome, Becky.
Thank you.
And Mike Newell and I spent quite an afternoon with you and Annette.
Were you on the John Wayne Parkway?
John Wayne Parkway. Yeah, Annette believes that the parkway is called the John Wayne Parkway. And if you've ever driven in Central Florida, you know what we're talking about. We were leaving the yacht club, and we were in the valet.
It's the yacht club, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Another story. Yeah. And so we get in the car, and you know, Mike and I have been in the car for a while. So I get in the car. Mike's in the car. We're good to go, right? Well, evidently, Becky was not exactly in the car. So we start driving away, and Becky's halfway in the car, and all you hear is stop, stop, stop.
So I'm glad my leg made it.
Yeah. My apologies to almost killing you.
Thank you. I appreciate your really sincere apology there, Matt.
You're laughing your head off.
So we did have a good time. We went to Trail's End for dinner last night, but that was our first night here. And pretty good. We had been there for lunch with Mike Scopa. It's his favorite restaurant. MouseFest 2006.
Last year.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And dinner was pretty good, I thought. I don't know how much you remember of the lunch back last year, but I felt that the variety of food was larger than it had been in 2006. Did you find what were your thoughts about?
There were some extra selections that I remembered seeing that were available at dinner that weren't there for that lunch.
Yeah.
But for the price, it's kind of hard to knock it.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic. So we had a good time over there, and now we're on the cruise. And you know, I guess one of the things we talked to Deb about the cruise, rather. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite part of going on a cruise, especially at MouseFest?
Well, right now it's being in the Walt Suite.
That should be a common answer.
I've sailed now, this is my 15th Disney cruise, and I have never sailed in a suite before, so this is the first time, and picking the Walt Disney Suite is probably a good choice out of the options.
And our listeners really want to know, because there have been many jokes at my expense and Mike's expense, but we're not the only ones sharing a room together. So many of our listeners want to know what it's like to stay with the fabulous Annette.
I thought that was the famous Annette. Is it now the fabulous Annette?
Famous.
There's no telling.
No, luckily we travel well together. Obviously, our job kind of demands that we escort the groups and escort the clients, and it's actually very beneficial for us to room together so we can take care of things and prepare the little special goodies that we can't talk about yet to not ruin the surprise for the audience that's listening.
Now, you know, it's interesting you mention that, because what a lot of people don't know is and I think Mike and I have seen it now, being a travel agent and going on these trips is not sitting in the pool and figuring out if you should order one or two drinks. Far from it. It's a lot of work.
Yes,
and
it is.
One of the things, I think the payoff for a lot of what you guys do is the fact that you do have a lot of things up your sleeve, a lot of surprises.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about the satisfaction that you get from these kind of surprises. I think, to me, from the outside looking in, it looks like that makes the hours of running around the ship trying to hand stuff out worth it.
Absolutely. And today was a great example. We had a special dream surprise for one of our clients. He was informed that we were going to provide transportation. We did a drawing from our clients and drew this individual's name. And we showed up at his resort with him and his daughter to pick them up and just make sure that their transportation was taken care of and that they showed up on time and got them here. Well, behind them, this beautiful, huge stretch limousine pulls up, and the daughter turns around and says, "I'd like to ride on that someday, Daddy." And we're turning around, we're looking for the town car to show up, and sure enough, the driver gets out with the name plaque with their name.
And it was the daughter that saw the name plaque.
Yes,
yeah.
It was. And they both just were shocked. And of course, the door opens and Deb Wills gets out to escort them to the port. That was fantastic. That's what makes this job so wonderful, because we got to see those faces. And all the way to the port, that little girl was smiling from ear to ear. And it was just such a satisfying piece. So when we are able to create a little extra magic, making magic is all part of it for us.
That's really what it is. You know, it's about these experiences and you know, we're only here, and I know that Becky, you have a lot of stuff lined up, not just on the cruise, but in the land portion as well.
Yes.
So we're, you know, obviously being here is fun. Let's not, you know, pretend like we're struggling here otherwise, but it's these, you know, these little surprises that keep you guessing, keep you thinking, you know, well, there's this going on, but you know that there's more than just what's written in the MouseFest description of the event.
Absolutely.
And,
always.
Yeah. And when you're planning these events, and I know a lot of the times you're part of the crew that has to go run around and make it happen.
I run.
In heels,
making
nonetheless.
Magic.
We should mention, you know.
In heels.
Yeah.
I run. Yes.
That's right. What is it? I mean, do you find that sense of satisfaction also, that kind of rewarding thing? I mean, what is it about the events that, you know, do you, being the first hand, because, you know, someone else might envision it, you know, picture it in their mind, but you're the ones that, you know, put it into play a lot of times. So when you're putting these events together, tell our listeners a little bit about what it takes. I mean, it's not easy. It's not dropping something off in front of someone's room.
It's like planning a wedding. And I've always said this is like planning a wedding. Every little detail you have to make sure is going right. And you're doing it because you want to see the surprise look on people's faces and the smiles. And that sounds so corny, I guess, but I love to stand back at a dessert party after everybody's been fed and everybody's watching Illuminations, and you just see them in awe watching Illuminations.
Yep.
And every once in a while, Mr. Scopa, in tears.
Fred Block.
Watching Illuminations. That's what makes it for me. It makes all the running around and all the planning for a year worthwhile.
Well, at least this year, Annette, it's a little bit less low-key for you because last year, not only were you doing everything...
I had to work for Matt.
Yeah, she was doing a personal favor for me,
yes,
and helping me plan my engagement. So this time, for both of us, it's a little easier.
Little easier.
Not saying it's a lot easier for you, but, you know...
No more messing with Matt messing up the plan.
Right, it's my fault.
I think it was Marissa's fault.
Yeah, she couldn't go to the bathroom when I wanted her to, so.
Now the world knows.
Yeah.
The backstory.
So,
the backstory cometh out.
So, yeah, no, this year's a little bit different. We can enjoy it a little bit more. So, great. One last thing, Becky, for you. We're obviously on the cruise portion here, and we're going to the land portion very soon. Probably sooner than we imagine, because we're going to wake up one day, and it's time to clean up the old... you know, the suite over here, and, you know, kick yourselves out, which would be pretty tough. I know you can't.
You think you're going to get that secret out of me?
Yeah,
right?
I'm trying to get the secret out of you. I'm trying to get something. Give me a tidbit.
Well,
something
you know
that
most people who've booked with us in the past know that we always throw a little bit of magic into our bookings, especially for MouseFest, because for us, MouseFest is a time to give back. We do spend a little bit of money to make sure that we create magic for the clients. And every year we've done our signature event, which has been the Illuminations dessert party, the private party. It got so popular, we had so many people, that we had to expand it to two nights, which was wonderful. And we felt that it's magical, but yet there's more magic to be had. So we do have a little extra surprise that we will be...
Coming.
How do I do this without giving it away? And I'm not going to give it away, but we will be throwing a little extra pixie dust on our clients for MouseFest this year.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the reasons people always ask, well, why should I book with a travel agent? Why? What's the advantage? Okay, they book my, you know, my dining reservation for me. That's great, but I can do that. I like doing it. I like booking this stuff. And that valid points. But I will say that this is the prime example when you come to MouseFest of why you should use a travel agent is simply because you can't go to these, like the Illuminations dessert party. And that's something that you offer to your clients free of charge. It's included in your price.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to go and you get a VIP seating at Epcot, right in the, it's going to be the same place again in the United Kingdom?
This year, yes.
Yep. So you're literally like right on the water, unobstructed. You don't have to get there an hour ahead of time. You know, there's none of that. You get there and you get catered. Mm-hmm. You know, you have some beverages provided and desserts. And you watch Illuminations from, Mike, back me up, the best view we've ever seen of it, right?
The best view I ever had. And I don't think there's a better view in Epcot.
Oh, it's my favorite.
Yeah.
It's absolutely my favorite.
I totally agree. And I would book every year just to go to that. It's amazing. It really is.
Good.
No change in for Mike.
No.
Exactly.
Okay. And especially now with the Christmas tag.
Yes. Oh.
There is no better place than to watch the Christmas tag than...
Yeah, that's a wonderful spot.
it was amazing because it was Mary's first. We had seen it last year. We had seen it earlier from Mike Scopa's favorite spot, mm-hmm. which I can't say.
Top Century.
And it was amazing.
Sorry, Mike. See that, by the way, from the fourth floor at Pop Century.
You can, just a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it was amazing, but especially when my Mary came down, and yeah. she saw it from the first time there. It was just so cool, and it was worth – I mean, it's just that perk alone to me is
absolutely.
Worth it. Yeah.
And again, we put – not just hours into prepping for Mouse Fest, we put months into it. And
oh, yeah.
As a matter of fact, we've already started 2008 planning now. We've already got our packages together. We're ready to go. But for the actual prep cycle, October 1st is actually late for us to get going. So by September 1st, we're already rolling on prep work.
Mm-hmm.
So when we put all this together, we pull it together, we see everybody arrive, and we see the smiles and the faces and the tears and the hellos. The Illuminations dessert party is just the thing that caps it off and is the little bit of pixie dust that's thrown at the end of the event.
I can't believe it's here already. We've been planning on and off for months and months, and now all of a sudden, it's so surreal.
It's here.
We're here. I know.
And it's we're amazing. Sitting in the Walt Suite.
Where else is better, though? I mean,
absolutely.
I don't know if any show has ever broadcasted from you before, but it's really
cool.
This could be a first. It's really cool, and I'm really happy to be here. So.
Well, we're thrilled to have you as well.
Us.
This is terrific
this is
and a
really
wonderful
neat.
Opportunity.
So thank you both for everything you've done to us, too.
Well, great. That's Becky Mankin from MEI Mouse Fan Travel. Thanks, Becky.
Thank you, Matt.
And a lot of these, Fred, you were talking about the Hercules show. Let's talk a little bit let's make this a little more personal. Let's talk about the experiences we've had on this cruise. And Dave, feel free to use experiences that you've used on your previous cruises, because the experiences are really what makes it fun. And I'm going to share one that we had this morning. Fred Block and I, Mike Newell, Becky Mankin, and Annette Owens, we did parasailing. And I'm sure many of our listeners have done parasailing many places, but it was a lot of fun because we did it among friends, which is always makes it a lot of fun. But more importantly, you know, we had the crew that Disney had gotten to do the parasailing with were fantastic. And Fred, talk a little bit more about it, but they really made the experience fun for everybody over there. It was one of those group experiences where you had to be there to really understand. But we really had a lot of fun. I know that Fred, I was very scared to go on it. I admit it. I was just going to go on the boat and just observe. And after a couple of people, I decided, okay, I can do it. Whereas Fred was looking to not only go about 10,000 feet, but then swim with the fishes on the way down.
Yeah. Supposed to leave the harness buckled until you come back down.
Correct. Thing. Basically, if it was up to Fred, there would just be a parachute extending slightly above the water. But that was what was fun, because the crew made it fun. For me, I got my feet wet a little bit, but for Fred, they dunked him pretty well.
I was completely hoarse by the time we got off that boat, and I think what ended up happening is the crew was really you're right, they were fantastic, they were a key part of this, but they fed off of our energy, mm-hmm. and I think we all, being that we all knew each other, you know, we came on and they asked, you know, are you guys ready to go out and go up in the air, and then we all like cheered really loudly and
right.
and it was just like, you know, the camaraderie was just, it was amazing. And I think that's part of what, they saw this and they were like, wow, you know, let's have some fun with these people. And they interacted with us and everybody had a great time. Everybody got dipped, you know, and essentially, to explain dipping for those that, you know, don't know it, when you go up in parasailing, you know, they slowly let your line out, just like you're doing, you know, like you would with a kite.
So it's nothing to do with like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, isn't
yeah.
it?
and you know,
that's a good reference to Disney.
in this case, they get you to about 400 feet and then you kind of hover there for a little while, and I said everybody this morning, it's godly. You know, you don't hear anything. You don't hear the engine. You don't hear the boat. You don't hear people. You don't hear noise. But like, one of the biggest things that I noticed, and I had done this before, is when I looked down, the water was just so clear.
Oh my God, it was amazing.
You could see everything. It was just, I saw fish. I couldn't believe I was seeing the bottom like as clear as I did. And I kind of just looked around. And then and you look to your you look to one side and you see the wonder in the background, you know, yeah. and Castaway Key, and you're at 400 feet in the air, and then slowly they start to let you down, and the closer you get to the boat, you know, he backs off, the captain backs off on the throttle a little bit, and you start to lose your lift, so you're dropping, you're dropping, you're dropping, and when you get dipped, it means that your body starts to enter the water. And then the captain has the ability to yank you back out or kind of like hover you there for a little while. Or
cut the cord and just leave you.
And we were joking about how, maybe we'll get to visit Brucey, Fish are friends, not food.
There were quite a bit of Jaws references on that boat.
There was, yeah.
But that was one experience that we really all had, and I'm sure you went back and you were trying to explain to Renee that, like, you know, we did this and we did that and we did that, and that those were the kind of experiences you had. Dave,
and
is there
Renee was saying, I was staying with the girls.
she's not really into that, and you know what? I think everybody who's done certain things, it's very difficult to explain to them your experience without actually being there. You had to be there, and that's true. You had to be there.
Yeah.
And honestly, I wouldn't have had a tenth of as much fun if it wasn't for the company, and that attests to a mass fest.
And seriously though, besides that, is that it's not a matter of leaving some members of the family behind. There was something else for them to be doing that they wanted to do. Yep. And that's one of the things about a cruise vacation versus a theme park vacation that I'd take a couple of minutes to talk
about.
Sure,
go ahead.
Which is that we've done 14 Disney cruises now, plus cruises on other lines, including multi-generational trips. And there's a big difference between the way a cruise runs and the way a family theme park vacation runs. A theme park vacation, you're mostly running, going, and experiencing other things. And if you break up as a group, it's like, okay, let's all meet back at in the hub at 3 o'clock.
Right.
And maybe you manage to meet up in the hub at 3 o'clock and maybe you don't. But otherwise, you're not going to run into anybody. If you split up, that's the last you're going to see of them. Yep. On a cruise, and it works beautifully for a multi-generational thing, the cruise ship itself is a closed community. Mm-hmm. It's big by some standards, but it's still a small place.
You're going to run into people.
You're going to run into people. There are activities around the clock of all different types, appealing to people of all different ages. In fact, if you look at the schedule grid for the day's events, It's intense. It's like scheduling for a huge corporate office with the meeting rooms and all that.
Yeah, but the navigator really makes it easy.
Right,
to follow
it makes
that.
It easy to follow. But which is the program guide. But the thing is that you can split up for an hour. I'm going to go watch the movie, and there's always a great Disney movie running in a really posh theater.
Yeah,
somebody else is going to go and do something recreational. Somebody else is just going to hang out in the lounge and sip a beverage. And a little later, maybe, one part of the group gets together and does something together. And, the group keep splitting and resplitting. You'll keep running into each other throughout the day. You're joining each other for meals. And then there's a togetherness thing. As much as you do your own thing, that you're always together despite it all.
Yep.
We've had trips with the 18 family members where sometimes the cousins will just pop together for a little while and have a drink. The kids are off in the kids' clubs. Grandparents and their siblings are off doing something they want to do. And then a little while later, everybody's together for dinner. And it's just... It's a great way to spend family time together. Whereas a park vacation, the parks tend to drag you away from your social life and more towards the activities that are going on around you.
We're live on the Disney Wonder here.
If you're still awake.
If you're still awake. Yeah, that's right. For us, this is early right now, but we're live on the Disney Wonder. And if you'd like to ask some questions, unfortunately, we can't take calls because the internet isn't that good in the middle of the Caribbean. However, in our chat room, which is going on right now, you can actually send a message to Becky, who is the moderator in the room, and she can...
You gave her that kind of authority?
She kind of usurped it.
Respect my authority.
Oh, yay!
At any rate, you can send a message to Becky in our chat room. Go to wdwtoday.com and enter our chat room there, and she will convey your messages to us. If you have a question or a comment, she will be more than happy to convey it. And we'll we'll put it right on the air. Dave, we were talking about some experiences on a cruise. Is there one kind of a fun experience on a cruise that you can share with our listeners? Something that, you know, like we were talking about the parasailing.
Oh boy. There are so many. The same thing. If you ask me what my favorite attraction is at Walt Disney World, you know, it's like, you know, how can you talk about, you know, which one is your favorite kid? You know, they're
which one is your favorite kid?
No. No, there are too many ways to slice. Favorite experiences. One is being in the Walt Disney Theater on the last night of the cruise for Disney Dreams, mm-hmm. which is a now slightly revitalized version of a show that's been going on since day one on the Disney Cruise Line. Mm-hmm. It is just a beautiful show that has everybody crying by the end with the music and the storyline. It's all favorite Disney music and Disney characters, and it's just an amazing show. That's one. Another is sitting around the adult pool with family members that haven't been together for probably 10 or 15 years, just chatting and enjoying a quiet moment sitting around the pool. Yeah. And tonight, in a little while, we're going to the Pirates in the Caribbean party up on Deck 9, where we will have fireworks, where there will be pirates swinging from the rigging, literally. There will be a takeover of the ship by forces of evil, of course, to be vanquished soon thereafter by the good guys.
Of course.
Classic Disney style. And I could keep going on and on.
Yeah, sure.
As far as that goes.
We've got some questions. And Becky, why don't you convey one of the questions and I'll repeat it on the air.
Certainly. Sammy Cat wants to know.
Sammy Cat with Lisa.
Is she on the ship?
Lisa wants to know where Newell sleeps. If you're not familiar, Mike Newell and I are sharing a cabin.
Lifeboat 7, deck 4.
Lifeboat 9, as a matter of fact. We have our issues that we're keeping in the room. and that goes for both ends. I meant both sides, not both ends.
Until now, what happened on the Disney Wonder stayed on the Disney Wonder.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Oh, my God.
You have another question for us, Becky?
This question's from ADP.
This is from ADP, Aaron.
Would a 4-night, 5-night, 7-night, or 10-night be best?
Would a 4-night, 5-night, 7-night, or 10-night cruise be best?
And what about 14?
Have you ever
cruised before?
Yeah.
Is she asking about me and Matt? Because I think the 3-night's probably the best.
Those are pillows.
Oh, my God.
We won't repeat that on the air. So, Annette, if someone's talking to you, let's assume it's a first-timer. What would you recommend for duration? If you could stop laughing, please. Dave, never mind.
Well, next.
Next.
Well, people often do ask us, you know, what is there to do on a cruise ship?
Yep.
Which we've already been talking about, sure, all the things there are to. Now, it's a lifestyle. Some people really love the ship and want to be on a cruise where there are a lot of days at sea because they really don't care about the ports of call. Mm-hmm. So for that, you usually have to go on a longer cruise.
Sure.
A 7-night or even longer. You know, the budget's going to stop you eventually, but I've been on 14-night cruises, and I'd be happy to sign up for a 21 or a 28 or, you know, you If Disney ever has to reposition a ship halfway around the world to Hong Kong,
yeah,
and I've got the time, I'm going to do it. But in between those extremes, you know, some of it's budget. The itineraries determine, and you have to look at the balance in the kind of activities you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to, a 3-night is, in our book, too short, because by the time you acclimate to the ship, you're off the ship.
I think 4-night is a good.
4-night's a good compromise, a great way to get your feet wet. You get a day at sea where you really get to enjoy the ship. You get one day in port, and you get a day in Castaway Key. After that, the 7 nights
on Disney, the Eastern Caribbean has one more day at sea than the Western Caribbean.
Yep.
So pretty much decide whether you want to do more on shore or more on the ship. Beyond that, you know, beyond.
We have
are things that, you know, you'll know as an experienced cruiser.
We have another question, and here it comes. Who is this from, Becky? Oh, Mr. Mike Scopa is in the chat room.
How about those Pats?
And what is old man River saying today?
Okay.
Okay. Do you have another question lined up for us?
And of course, by the way, whoever asked about the souffle, it's coming soon.
You've got souffles coming. Oh, how nice.
We should mention that if you can join us in our chat room at wdwtoday.com, and there's a link right to our chat room where you can interact with our other listeners and also ask us questions. And Becky Mankin of MEI Mouse Fan Travel is reading them off mic, and we'll actually... No, we lost our mic.
Mr. Scopa might be interested in knowing what we were doing last night around 11 p.m. or so.
Well, that's an experience. We were talking about that before, but let's talk about that right after this question. JWDW Dream in Va, perhaps Virginia. Has anyone had any issues with motion or seasickness?
The first night was a little rocky on this one. We had a lot of people with the lovely little patches behind their ears and the wristbands going. But after that, it seemed to calm down pretty well.
Yeah. Fred, did your family? You have obviously your wife.
Keep in mind, I think one of the advantages we have here with this cruise is the two cruises that we've done were from New York to Canada, where you're in the Atlantic the whole time.
Sure.
And in one of them, we had 15-foot swells.
Yeah.
So it was really bad, and you didn't have a choice. Here, you know, you might have had to deal with a little bit of chop, and it might have been a little bit of rocky. But eventually, once you get into the Caribbean, you know, you're fine.
Well, it's not even being in the Caribbean, because we're not, actually. We're not in the open Atlantic either. What happens is that on the first night of the cruise from Port Canaveral, you're heading south parallel to the Florida coast towards Miami. And when you get down around Miami, you begin to hit the area of the Bahamas. The Bahamas are just offshore from Miami. And the Bahamas calm the seas. And so you're getting rolling seas because you're actually, you know, they're hitting you broadside.
Sure.
When you're in that first few hours. But after about midnight, 1 o'clock on the first night of the cruise, it's going to be calm until the return to Port Canaveral. And on the return to Port Canaveral, those choppy moments are all happening when you're asleep.
Which is nice. And before we go on to the next question, which you can ask in our chat room at wdwtoday.com, Dave, you mentioned last night we were talking about experiences that we had. Last night, it was an impromptu. All of us, Dave was there, Fred was there, I was there, Linda Liu from All Ears Net was there, Debbie was also,
Becky.
Becky, thank you. Becky Mankin was also there. We came to the pool because they were showing the Monday Night Football game by the pool, and Mike Newell was there too.
Well, because
oh my god,
I'm bringing your lesson.
There with the mic.
And we were at the pool watching Monday Night Football, and because the game was intense, and we were enjoying each other's company as well as some other contraband that we had picked up in Nassau. We were watching the game together. We were joking together.
We were watching the game on a 60-foot wide screen.
Foot.
60-foot LED display. A couple of years ago, Disney installed huge video monitors, you know, huge video displays up on the recreation deck of both ships. And
It's a great experience.
It's awesome. They have stuff going on all the time. In this case, it was Monday Night Football on ESPN, of course, a subsidiary of Disney, ABC, yada, yada, yada.
But the other times they are showing films.
It was the Patriots game, and it was the...
with one heck of an ending, I'll tell you. Nail-biter all the way.
From here, we can hear Scopa and Mrs. Scopa screaming. Especially that last throw, that Hail Mary.
Oh, that was just great. That was great.
Yes, bear in mind that on this screen, it was more than life-size. I don't care what kind of home theater system you have.
Yeah, it was amazing. Becky, do we have another question from the chat room? Sambi Cat Lisa.
How close you guys are to the Bermuda Triangle?
How close are we to the Bermuda Triangle? I'm not. Yeah. Fred has a look on his face where.
I'm honestly dumbfounded.
This is the type of question where I respond, I like turtles.
Does it sound like we're in the Bermuda Triangle? Actually. No.
I think it's more like the Twilight Zone, actually.
we're not quite in the Bermuda Triangle. We are south of the Bermuda Triangle.
So there you go. We're not.
How many miles? I'm not going to quote you.
Okay. But another question, Becky?
Also follows up with, do Newell and Hotchberg have their door decorated?
Do Newell and Hotchberg have their door decorated?
Yes.
On the inside or the outside?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Oh. Dave, I was not expecting that from you. There.
They were proudly had the WDW Today magnets there for everybody to come by and grab.
We did not do nearly as good a job as some of the other people who had theirs. In fact, one of our listeners, Kevin Peace, won. For his display on his door. It was really an amazing display. He won. What did he win in that? He won the stay. He won it.
Two nights
at the Swan and Dolphin Resort. Not bad.
Well, it's either the Swan or the Dolphin. He can't stay two nights at both hotels, right?
We're not going to repeat that.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Becky,
do you hear her laughing over there? I mean,
I'm scared to.
Uh-oh.
Who is this on?
I don't know. This is like a morning zoo program, and it's what time?
Sorry, this one was just way too good. I have a question from a Mr. Mike Scopa.
Hey, Scopa!
Mr. Mike Scopa is wondering, when is Matt returning the suit to Mr. Rourke?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Fantasy Island.
Yay!
I actually compared him to Don Johnson, actually. That was what I was going with.
If you could just see Dave doing tattoo.
Hey, boss, it's a plane.
See, Scopa doesn't go on these cruises because that whole bad experience with being swallowed by the whale and and that just really threw him off. So unfortunately, he can't be here to see them.
Actually,
I saw
Scopa when we were doing the walking tour. I saw his statue standing in front of this big pink building, and it had 1492 on it.
That's why that was his first vacation. He decided, let's go to Wally World, and he ended up in
Holiday Road.
Which, right there.
Oh my god.
Do we have any real questions?
Real questions.
Well, you can ask your questions at wdwtoday.com. Join us in the chat room. There's a link right on wdwtoday.com. And we're talking about experiences. Annette, we were talking earlier. Annette had to go check on the most important priority of the entire night, which was the souffles. Right?
Oh, yeah. Actually, that's not what I was doing.
Well, that's what we thought you were doing.
That's what you should be doing.
Okay, I will run do that now. Well, no, I actually have, I'm escorting a group, and we had a drawing, and we had some special guest that got a little magic on the Disney Wonder, and a little extra magic. They are right now eating dinner. They didn't know this around 5 o'clock today, but now at 9 o'clock, they were up at Paolo's in the private dining room. Doing dinner.
Wow.
So,
that's quite a bit of pixie dust.
Yeah. Do we have to explain Paolo to the listening public?
Sure. Dave, why don't you explain a little bit?
Paolo is an adults only, reservations only, small restaurant on both the Wonder and the Magic. Both have a Paolo.
Yep.
And it's elegant, it's sophisticated, it's Northern Italian. It's fabulously delicious, and the service is, if you've ever dined at Victoria and Albert's, it's that kind of service. It's just outstanding service. And you only have to pay $10 extra to enjoy it.
It really, the food, the food is good to begin with.
Right.
But the quality of food at Paulo's is,
well,
really tremendous.
Well, there's a big contrast because everything in the main dining rooms, you're serving 800 people at a sitting, and they have to all be served roughly at the same time. Sure. And that affects the food no matter where you are.
Absolutely.
At Paulo, it's all cooked to order or finished to order. And they're the kinds of things that can be produced in small quantities. And so, yes, Paulo is outstanding. One of the most favorite things about Paulo are the chocolate souffles, which you must order when you sit down because it takes all that time to do it. And people in the suites have the added benefit because after all, they're paying half their life's earnings to be in one of these suites, that they could get food ordered in from Paulo.
That's right. We just had chocolate souffles delivered to our suite right now. So Annette dropped the mic and ran across the room to go to get that.
They're waiting for their souffles, and they are wonderful souffles.
Yeah, oh, I've never had one before. They're really good.
They're outstanding. But the thing about Paulo is that because we keep talking it up here on the internet and writing about it in our book, it used to be you could actually get a reservation at Paulo, but now it's Paulo pretty much is like Cinderella's royal table. And, you know, people, you know, you can start trying to get a reservation for Paulo if you're in some categories 105 days in advance, if you're fully paid and you're staying in a suite, or 90 days in advance if you're a member of the Castaway Club, a previous cruiser, or 75 days in advance if you're cruising for the first time. And so pretty much it's... Yeah, you know, there are people waiting there to yeah,
it's very popular.
Yeah, you know,
they've
got
all of those cancellations.
They've got all of, yep. And you know, wait list, and it's just insane.
Just want to make a quick note about programming. For those of you listening right now, there's good news. There'll be more live broadcasts from this ship tomorrow. We'll be having the Who Wants to Earn Their Ear show being broadcast from 2:30 to 3:30 Eastern Time, right here on Mouse World Radio. And we'll be broadcasting again from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. tomorrow. And we're hoping to get some more interaction from our listeners where you'll be able to talk to us, as well as some of the people that are on board the ship. And we'll be talking about kind of wrapping up the cruise and beginning the Mouse Fest land portion. And again, don't forget, you can send your questions into our chat room. Just go to wdwday.com. And you can ask Becky, who's the chat moderator over there, and she'll convey the questions over to us.
Okay, Roz.
Roz.
I have a question for everybody in the chat room. Is it snowing by you?
Yeah, we want to know if it's snowing.
I didn't do it.
Because the water was a very nice, 75 degrees today?
Easy, maybe 80. It was 22
degrees. Sorry.
And it was. It
Does
was
anybody
beautiful.
In the chat room?
It's pirate night, and the pirates have taken over the podcast.
That would be the.
And then they left.
And then they left. Not a very effective takeover.
They realized we had no rum.
Ahoy, matey!
No souffles.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Two of the most popular questions that we get are questions about weather during December, January, and February, and what do I wear for formal night?
That is formal night or semi-formal night, Dave?
Or dress-up night, or Pirates in the Caribbean night, or there are old sailing traditions where if you were sailing on the Titanic, obviously you were going to wear white tie to dinner, and some of those traditions are fun and elegant, and they continue on cruise ships to this day. Sure. But this is Disney, and cruise casual pretty much is the rule these days.
Yep.
If you want to dress, if you want to get dressed, it's a lot of fun to do it. Photographers are out with their formal backdrops on formal nights, and you get to meet the captain and have your picture taken with the captain while he's wearing his white tie and you're in your tux, if you want to do it.
Right.
If you don't want to do it, this is a very accepting world on the Disney Cruise Line, and with the exception of showing up really badly dressed at Paulo, pretty much if you need to dress down because that's just the way you are, it's not a problem.
Yeah, a lot of people are very apprehensive about dressing up. And especially on the semi-formal nights, because on the 3 and 4 night cruises, there's one dress up night where it's, you know, shirts and ties and jackets.
Right. Arr, we want the mat. We've got to have the mat. He's gonna be leaving the podcast now.
Oh.
Well, who's gonna replace him?
Yeah, the Whitechers are very active tonight. So. And on the
I think some of the pirates have been drinking a little rum.
Dave, there's also a formal night.
It's
right.
A poi pousse, actually. but on the 3 night and the 4 night, though, you do not have formal nights.
Right, you have the semi formal.
Not even semi formal.
There is a request for putting
Newell. Oh, there's a request for Newell.
Who's requesting that?
Probably Scopa.
I like turtles.
Is it my wife? Oh, no.
Yeah, Deb is on the chat.
Deb Willis is now Becky in the chat.
Let's get back to really answering the question, Dave. The issue with dressing up is that, you know, even on the dress-up nights, I mean, you know, you can wear just... You don't have to get necessarily the tuxedo and replicate the Titanic-esque fare.
No, you can if you want to, mm-hmm. but that's the difference. The thing is, yeah, it's still nice. You know, you're in nice dining rooms. It's nice to at least... show some respect to your fellow diners, so you don't show up in cutoffs and a tank top. You know, so you know, wear a nice polo shirt or you know a nice light, you know, a nice casual summer dress or something right. A little bit better than just what you would wear to play paintball, for example.
Okay. We have a. It's a good point. We have a question coming in, and Becky will read it to me, and then I'll convey it on the air. ADP wants to know what is the best deck in terms of value, level or what room level or deck is best in terms of value. Interesting question. Annette, we stole Annette's mic. Sorry, Annette.
Mike handed Annette's mic.
Annette is. Can you comment a little bit on that?
Plank.
Well, it all depends. The great thing about the Disney ships is the Category 11 for an inside stateroom is very, very large. I mean, it's in comparison to some other, you know, cruise lines.
That's right.
So sometimes just especially that first experience, just being in an inside, I recommend turning on the TV so you see the sunrise come up so you know to get up and get out of bed.
Yeah, I was going
to
say it's just like at Disney World again. You know, people stay at value resorts sometimes because they say, hey, I'm not spending that much time in the room. I'm going to be out. I'm going to be in the parks. And the same thing is for the cruise. If Mike and I decided we're going to be out. We're going to be on the islands. We're going to be somewhere on the ship. And we're using our room for sleeping.
Sleeping and changing clothes.
Fred, now you're in a. Do you have a veranda, Fred?
Yeah, we have a balcony. And one of the things that I honestly reason why we got it is. I sincerely look forward to waking up in the morning, being able to go out on the balcony and just stare at the ocean for a little while. And it's really one of the biggest rewards of cruising. Also one of those surreal things. You know, you look everywhere and you're so far out in the water sometimes that you don't even see birds.
Yeah. And your suite there your room that has the veranda, you have yourself, you have your wife and you have your two children.
Yep. And the kids are loving it because one of the beds is a bunk that comes right down out of the ceiling. So there's more than enough room for 4 people to sleep comfortably. And you know,
a family of 4. You'll find that 2 couples don't like it.
Sure. No,
I mean, that bunk, you know, get that you
upper,
every time.
Yeah, that upper lower bunk thing just
but for a family, you know.
Well,
you know,
I mean, I got bumped to the lower bunk
because you weren't on the top.
The other night. No, because the girls all fell asleep in the big bed one night, yeah. So I already did have to sleep on the couch bed, you know, but you know, sacrifices you have to make.
Actually, the room you select can have a big effect on the style of your vacation. Yeah, if you take those inside rooms without the windows, it's not a matter of space because the space is adequate.
Sure.
And the comforts, amenities, you get the same level of service, you get the same food. You know, there's no steerage class in that sense. So the main thing is if you have the kind of room where you don't really want to hang out too long in there because you want to get out in sunlight or you want, you know, go out and do, then it's great. If you have a suite like the one we're sitting in right now, you know, one of the 2 grandest suites on the ship.
You might never want to go out of it.
Exactly.
Especially with the wine, right, Fred?
Exactly. So you have a tendency, the ship has so many wonderful public spaces that you don't need to have those public spaces built into your stateroom.
Right.
You don't need lounging space and hangout space because there's plenty of places out there to do it if you don't. But if you have it, boy, do you have a good time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we're in the Walt Disney Suite here, where Deb Wells is graciously allowing us to stay with her and podcast from, and it really is fantastic in terms of, I mean, this is the I hate to say the ultimate luxury really in cruising, and we're quite spoiled by allowing us to come in here, and we're enjoying some beverages and company, and it's a lot of fun. But like Dave said, I mean, there's so much to do, whether it's just be finding a place, your own little space. You can't find your own little place on the ship and not have to, you know, you don't need to be, your room is not your end-all, be-all place of relaxation.
The Cove Cafe.
Cove Cafe.
Yeah, if you're loud, you get kicked out, like some people I know.
Joining us on the air is Deb Wills of All Ears Now. Welcome, Deb.
Hi, Matt. Hi, guys. How's everybody tonight?
Howdy.
And who's your friend on your shoulder?
I need to talk about my friend on my
shoulder. Oh, this is why she's here.
They're getting tired.
There's a story here.
A couple nights ago at 11:30 at night, the doorbell rang. Yes, we have a doorbell on the suite.
Yeah, this is... Yeah.
Anyway.
Enough said.
So, really. Oh, it's ringing now.
As if I'm... Is that the souffle?
In walked two cast members, and they had this huge box with pink tissue paper, and it was for me. And there was a very nice note, but it was not signed. And I opened the box. There was a beautiful canvas sports bag, Mickey sports bag with my name embroidered on it. I opened it up, and there were about three dozen pink ribbon bears. And I called the bear my Punchaku bear, because my dear friend Masayo, who's from Japan, has a bear just like this, but blue. Anyway, also in the bag was a sports bag with Linda's name embroidered on it. And so we have these three dozen pink Punchakus, and no one will claim that they were the pixie duster for this particular evening. And so in case it's someone who's not on the ship, and it's one of you out there listening, I just want to thank you so much. We were very, very touched. It was a very heartwarming gift. And we'll be giving the bears out tomorrow morning at the Walk, Stroll, Roll for Breast Cancer that's co-hosted between myself and a Mouse Fan Travel. So I just wanted you to know, if you see the little pink bear around, because we're going to do a blog with him after we get back, that's where the pink bear came from. And if it's one of you out there, thank you so much.
Yeah, it was really a wonderful gesture, Deb. And meanwhile, she's been asking every one of us individually in a kind of good
The flashlight top. Comes on. Where were you on the evening of?
Exactly.
And have you seen this bear?
Again, another one of those experiences that we've been talking about on the ship that you really had, and a lot of fun just in terms of what you can do. And this is just one of those examples of that experience. And don't forget that we're live right now in the we're live right now on the Disney Wonder here in the Walt Disney Suite, somewhere in the middle of the Lower Atlantic, south of the Bermuda Triangle, as Dave has let us know. And you can chat with us via our chat room.
In the hard to know, though, based on the conversations we've been having.
Yeah, that's true. You can chat with us in our chat room in the WDWToday.com chat room. Just go to WDWToday.com. You'll see a link to the chat room right there. A number of our listeners are in there, as well as some of our hosts that can't be here, like Mike Scopa. So be sure to check in there. If you have a question for us, you can send it to Becky, who's the chat moderator in there, and she will convey the questions to us. If you have a question about a chat or maybe a comment you'd like to share, perhaps you had a cruise experience you'd like to share with us, we can certainly put that on the air for you. And don't forget that tomorrow we've got two different shows coming up, 2:30 to 3:30. We'll be presenting Who Wants to Earn Their Ears, which is a Mouse Fest meet here on the cruise, as well as at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. we'll be broadcasting and kind of doing an all inclusive, you know, type of show that covers the gamut of topics and kind of again wrapping up the Mouse Fest cruise portion here. We're also here with Linda Eckworth of All Ears Net. Welcome.
Thank you.
And now, Linda, although our listeners can't see you right now, you are recovering from an injury that you sustained.
Yes.
Have you found Gutting Around the Wonder any... This is a unique opportunity for you to look at how it is to go around the Wonder given your state. I mean, you're not wearing... You're not on crutches. You just have a bum leg at this point, right? Is that the medical term, bum leg?
It's a boot.
Yes, I have a bum leg.
Have you found it so far in terms of getting around?
Actually, not a problem at all.
Okay.
I haven't done a lot of walking yet, but what walking I have done has been no problem whatsoever.
Now, Deb Wills and Deb Coma did some work on their book about, you know, being accessible both on the cruise line as well as in Disney World. Mm-hmm. Have you found that some of their stuff kind of helpful now, given your situation? Like, has there been some tips that Deb's been able to share with you in terms of getting, keeping things accessible to you, given that, you know, you obviously aren't going to be running or anything like that?
Yes. No, yes, it has. I mean, we originally had a wheelchair scheduled to come along with me onto the ship. But once I got the doctor's orders that, yes, he wanted me walking around more rather than riding, I figured, well, this was the place to do that because it's a little bit smaller environment. Yes, there are crowds, but not a ton of people.
Mm-hmm.
But when we get to the parks, I will have an ECV. And so there I will wear my boot and be on the ECV and be a little more protective of the foot.
Okay.
But that's worked well, learning how to make the reservations, when it's going to arrive at the hotel, that sort of thing.
Tell us about your first impression of the Walt Disney Suite. When you first walked in, what did you think?
I was speechless. We walked in, my eyes were like big as saucers, my mouth dropped open, and it was just like, wow. Where's my camera? I got to take photographs. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
It is. It's just amazing.
It's beautiful, and it's beyond anything I had imagined.
What about, you know, with the suite here, do you ever find yourself saying, like, why? Like, you know, it's Becky, Debbie, or someone else saying, well, let's go here, and be like, why? 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 Yeah, you stayed in the room.
Yeah, I mean, everybody was going up on the deck for the deck party, and I'm thinking, why do I need to be there?
Sweet to myself.
I had a moment, you know, to me. it's wonderful.
Now you've taken cruises before. Do you spend a lot of time previously? Have you spent a lot of time in the staterooms, or are they places to sleep for you?
I enjoyed my stateroom. When the crowds get really crazy and I want to just read my book, I'll come back to the stateroom, sit out on the balcony, and just relax and have that peace and quiet. And it's great. But then there are other times I enjoy being around the crowds, being around people, but it's nice to have that little oasis for me.
And now over here with the Walt Disney Suite, I mean, this is a whole new ballgame. Now that it's like
this is like kicked up several notches.
Yeah, quite a bit more so than just reading a book.
We have. We've passed each other in here and gone, where'd Becky go?
Or you go in one door and then they're coming out the other door, the person you're looking for.
It's a big game of hide and seek.
My luggage is lost, I do believe.
Now, why don't you tell our listeners, you shared a story with me earlier about your plans for Castaway Key, what you're planning on doing. Can you tell our listeners about, because you have a master plan. This is someone who's planned out what she's going to be doing on the island over there. Because some people, you know, we call them suckers, might take their time and, you know, go see, you know, maybe just
parasailing.
That's right. Putting their lives in danger. But Linda has the master plan. So, Linda, why don't you share with us the master plan for Castaway Key?
Well, what I plan to do is I'll get up while everyone else is getting ready for their parasailing and they're right. Out
Step
on the boat.
One.
I'll just go over, pick up the tram, ride down to Serenity Bay, find my little hammock, which is right near the bar.
That's the key word right there, yep.
And set up camp right there in the hammock. And that way I am close to the bar. And plus the servers are right close to me. And they'll come in and offer a drink. So I don't have to get up from the hammock if I don't want to. Plus the restrooms are close by. So I don't have far to walk. And lunch is served not too far from the hammock where I plan to be.
Plus, we should have just brought you a bell.
Plus, where I'll be situated, I'll be able to see everyone that comes and goes on the beach.
It's a fantastic plan, and I'm just annoyed I didn't think of it myself.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, Linda, thanks for taking the time to talk to us, and we hope that your leg gets better very soon.
Well, thank you.
I'll go ahead
kids
there.
On up on the recreation deck are currently playing Duck, 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 Goose.
Yeah, we have a... Why don't you tell... How do you know that, Dave? Why don't you tell our listeners?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, there's several TVs here, and on every TV on the ship, they have the View from the Bridge channel, where they have a video camera just looking forward. Now, just below and in front of the bridge is the recreation deck, so you can see whoever's playing on the recreation deck, and... they're playing Duck, 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 Goose at what time is it?
Yeah, at 10:40.
Yes. So, you know, if you want to know where your children are, you can just tune in. To the bridge channel. Tune into what's at the bridge channel.
That's right.
I just wanted to mention one thing that tonight at dinner, I had two different MouseFest folks, at least two, call me over to them and thank me for the MouseFest cruise. And both of these folks happened to book with MouseFan Travel and raved about their travel agents and just talked about how wonderful MouseFest on Sea is, that they really never understood it until they were actually here and experienced it. But there's an opportunity to really get to know people when you need to go somewhere. You're not an hour away. You're just 5 minutes away from wherever the meet location is. We get time to spend with each other and get to know each other on a much more personal basis. And it's just very quality time oriented. And there's lots of neat things to do. And we're able to do pixie dust. So just want to let you know, if you've had any hesitation about sailing on the MouseFest cruise, it's a wonderful experience. We have many solo travelers this time, and they're all enjoying themselves. They're having a wonderful chance to get to know new people and just feel part of the whole group, and that was very exciting to hear.
We've got a another comment from the chat room. Becky, why don't you tell it?
There's just a couple of nice comments that are going into the chat room right now. One of them is Cheryl saying Happy Hanukkah to all of the fellow Jewish Disney fans. And also, Jay wants to thank Matt and Mike for posting the Studio Central launch audio.
Thank you very much. And everyone in the hug wants
thank
to give Deb.
Thank you so much.
Group hug.
Group hug.
And Fred is taking the liberty.
Fred's giving
right
me
there.
A hug. Thank you.
Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for this broadcast here tonight. We want to thank everyone for listening and tuning in and chatting with us. We're going to be broadcasting again tomorrow from 2:30 to 3:30. We'll be doing Who Wants to Earn Their Ears, a event that we had done previously in one of our live shows. We'll be doing it again. It'll be broadcast from the Disney Wonder, and we'll be broadcasting once again live from the Disney Wonder tomorrow night from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. Eastern time. So join us again for that to wrap up our Disney cruise here at MouseFest. So on behalf of Dave Marks, Brett Block, Deb Wills, Annette Owens, and Mike Newell, I'm Matt Hotchberg. We'll see you on our next live broadcast from somewhere in the Atlantic.
I actually remembered you, Mike.
No. No.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.